Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, 1043thefan.com, Cecil Lammy.
All right, Eric Edholm, let's just get right to it. Yahoo Sports joining me now. Eric, I'm glad you could hang out at the Combine Roundtable that I'm doing this year.
I am thrilled to be here. It's a great week for draft folks like ourselves.
Right.
And a great week to talk a little ball when it's... There's no real action. I mean, you know, XFL, give them their props.
Right,
but,
right.
You know,
they're doing their thing.
Yeah.
But we're here to scout the next crop of incoming players into the National Football League. And, of course, you do some of the best work that is out there for Yahoo Sports as their draft expert. And the Combine has a new schedule.
Yeah.
So before we get into the talent, I just want to ask you about the schedule because it's kind of thrown all of our weeks off in a way.
I mean, I'm not the most social guy anymore. Like, my bedtimes are earlier and everything, but it's cramping the kind of the social aspect of it, right? I mean, the NFL teams are having to, you know, pretty soon be watching the workouts and everything at nighttime and everything. And obviously it's kind of changed a little bit of the dynamic down here, but we're adapting. You know, we're thrown for a loop here. The media stuff was tough, though, for me because, you know, you had 8 podiums, head coaches, GMs, talking heads, whatever you want to say, all talking at once. And I mean, I had like my ADHD was in, you know, like high effect at that moment. I had to decide, okay, prioritize, who can I talk to? So after a raucous day one, I've kind of settled in a little.
Yeah, just behind the scenes, I saw you yesterday briefly.
That wasn't like
and
that.
We were all scrambled, and yeah. I was going one way, you're going the other. I was like, brother,
dude,
let's get through today.
I'll see you later.
Yeah. And we'll talk tomorrow, but we'll talk about this draft.
Yeah.
And of course, everyone going Joe Burrow's not going to throw.
Yep.
It's not a big deal at the end, but he also didn't participate in the Senior Bowl.
Correct.
Still the number one pick, or could Justin Herbert sneak in there?
He could. I mean, I guess it depends on what the comfort level of the Bengals is and what they're deciding. I mean, because, like, you know, they work with him down in Mobile. It seems like they have a healthy appreciation for him. It seems like they would love this Burrow thing to work out. And Joe said enough of the right things to make it seem like he wasn't going to be, you know, a Elway, Eli Manning, I won't
right.
play here type of thing. And so on the surface, it still adds up to Burrow going to Cincy, but you never know. I mean, it wouldn't be shocking to hear some behind-the-scenes stuff of like, don't draft us. You know, but I don't know.
Right.
I mean, we'll find out if that's a real thing or not pretty soon, I would imagine. And, you know, it almost seems too perfect. Like the Ohio kid comes home,
right.
you know, savior of the franchise, but you never know.
If they put the number one pick up for grabs, what could they get
for
him?
Man. So then
like 3 first-rounders?
Maybe.
Like, something crazy like that?
I, you know, obviously the Miami Dolphins have the most ammo. They could be the ones that offer the most up and you know, make a kind of a deal that makes the most sense. And you have the Carolina Panthers in this transition period where, yeah, they're saying all the right things about Cam Newton, but if they're rebuilding, does Cam want to be a part of that? Could they offer him up? They have Joe Brady. You know, that would make a lot of sense. Probably another mystery team or two in the mix. So, yeah, I think the price would be pretty high. And then, you know, if you're the Bengals, you decide, does this benefit the franchise? Are we okay with a different quarterback or whatever? So,
right.
It would just shake everything up and make it that much more interesting.
Crazy top of the draft coming up, including what I think is lies by the Lions to get a trade with the Dolphins.
Yep.
And there is buzz picking up here this second day at the Combine that, okay, Miami would be willing to move to 3.
Yep.
For Tua Tagovailoa. Now, when the Lions came out about a week ago, it was like, we really like Tua. I was like, bunk.
Oh, please.
Yeah,
yes.
Got to clean it up for radio purposes. But I was like, oh, that's not true.
Yes.
And the Dolphins really, really love him. So it's kind of, okay, Miami, make your move, get up and get your guy.
Yep. And I think Miami here is obviously here to do what the other 31 teams are in theory, which is to just, let's get a great look at Tua's medical situation, right? Let's decide where he is now, where he's going to be for OTAs, where he's going to be a year from now as best we can. the player. I'm sure they, you know, they've been thinking about a quarterback probably for the better part of 2 years or whatever. And they've done a lot of work on Herbert, too. They've known plenty about him. They've, you know, I think they like Justin Herbert. I don't know that they love him, though. So that's the big question. And I haven't talked to Miami recently either. So it's like I know they've kind of gone into their little bunker and they're not really, you know, they're only letting certain information getting out. But you're right about Detroit. It doesn't make sense for them to move Stafford with the contract. And this is a head coach and a GM that are on the hot seat for next year.
Oh, yeah.
What does drafting another quarterback do for them? I can't see it right now. They're trying to drive up that value.
Right, and I don't think it buys them any more time.
Right.
So, and as we go through the quarterback conversation, Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, one of the best NFL draft experts out there, can we please stop with the Jordan Love, Pat Mahomes comparison? Like, you and I have an appreciation for Love. We both saw him down at the Senior Bowl, and he did a fine job mechanically. I love him. Mwah. I've always said if Drew Locke had Jordan Love's mechanics, it's like, oh, my God, look out. So Love, great upside. First-round pick. I love, you know, when talking heads will be like, I think he might be in the first round. I was like, yeah, no kidding. It's been like that since, you know, November, so catch up. It's like Fox Force 5, right? Catch up. But the Love comparisons, you know, teams like the Colts, Raiders, I've heard have interest. Mm-hmm. You mentioned other teams like Carolina that might be in the mix. The Chargers might be in the mix. Yeah, I like the guy, but let's be honest about, you know, who he is.
Yep. I mean, and, you know, even coming into this season, like, you could look at that really shiny TD to interception ratio from 2008 to 32 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, you know, like, gave Michigan State everything they can handle, right? I mean, coming into the season, there was legitimate buzz, and everybody sort of got off the train in the media circles as far as, like, wow, you know, LSU game was really bad, or this, you know, why was he not playing better against, you know, this team or whatever? I think it was Boise State. Or not Boise State. What was the game where he really – Fresno State, I think, was the one where he didn't look very good. And, you know, I think everybody in the NFL is saying, let's evaluate the traits. What can we do with this guy? What, you know, does he have a Mahomesian style in terms of the way he plays? Sure. But, yeah. We're not. He is not Patrick Mahomes, nor will, you know, I don't think he ever will be.
Yeah, so we're looking at 4 quarterbacks potentially in the top 10-ish.
Right.
Do others make their way into the first round? Eric Edholm, draft expert, Yahoo Sports. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who like Jake Fromm. There's some people who, even Chris Harris Jr. said this on record. He was like, as a game manager in college, why do you want a game manager in the pros? So, like, Fromm's kind of a Jacob Eason. You know, it's a transfer, of course, and there's a lot of question marks around him. So, 4 in the top 10, none in the rest of the first round, or will somebody sneak in, do you think?
Yeah, and I mean, those are often like trades or whatever, so it's hard to say, like, if the you know, the picks from, you know, the middle of the first round to 32 remain the same, maybe not, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, those are always, that's always like prime trade real estate. Yeah, like Jacob Eason, I think it's one of those things where the same questions with Herbert, just with less game tape. Great physical skill. Is he that alpha leader? Is he too laid back? Is he that kind of West Coast chill guy? Is that, you know, that's what I think some people are grappling with. And then some of the decision making where you say, oh boy, you know, I mean, he still needs time.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know if you're willing to gamble on the physical stuff. Like, I still like things about Jacob Eason quite a bit, but, you know, I'm not ready to hand him the keys of my franchise week one either. So.
I love the question, and I thought about this at the Senior Bowl. In fact, years ago, when Matt Waldman and I essentially had to start hiding from people trying to network in the bleachers, was like, let's do that at Saucy Q, bro. Like, we're trying to watch practice. But what are you here for? You know, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this roundtable. And again, thank you, Eric, for coming over. Sure. I hope I can keep around for another segment.
Yeah.
Because, like, what are you here for? A lot of people come to the combine and say, hey, party time, party time. You're working your ass off. Right? I still have 2 articles to write when I'm done with this show at 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. I'm not complaining, but, like, we're here for the work, right? Yep. We're here for the game. We're here for the players. And it's kind of cool to not – because everyone goes to, like, some sort of steakhouse or some sort of bar about right now. Honestly, it's 9:25 Eastern time. And we're chilling in an apartment, a couple cold pops, talking some football, man.
That's the biggest thing. I mean – you know, of course, Yahoo wants me to crank out my stories and do that, you know, feed the beast or whatever. And I love doing that. That's certainly the daytime part of it. And, yeah, I mean, there are people who, you know, I've been texting or talking to during the season that I don't get to see. Maybe I caught up with them in Mobile and now I'm here now. But, yeah, it's still work. I mean, I might be more antisocial than I was 10 years ago, but I still try to be that guy. And so, yeah, it's a fun work hard, play hard week. But, yeah, there are obviously people who go to some of these events that, you know.
Maybe not for the best reasons.
Yeah, they punch out at 5 o'clock and it's happy hour, right?
Right.
Sounds fun, but at the same time, we love what we do. We love, you know, keeping the candle burning, I guess.
Exactly. He's Eric Edholm, NFL draft expert, Yahoo Sports, one of my dear, dear friends here in our Combine Roundtable. Eric had the truth about Drew Lock last year, and there is a rumor that involves the Denver Broncos that both Eric and I have heard. You don't want to miss that. Next.
Live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, here's 104.3TheFan.com, Cecil Lang.
My Scouting Combine Roundtable continues tonight. First special guest, Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, joining me. And last year, you and I had some interesting conversations about Drew Lock.
Mm-hmm.
And you were perhaps more on the money with his evaluation than a lot of people out there. And you also said, I want to see him at the pro game. Like, I want to see that speed translate. I remember our conversations. And
better than I remember. I'm trying to retrace our steps.
Well, I remember you saying, like, I want to see that, how the speed of the game, how he reacts. Because he'll play hero ball, right? He did that at Mizzou.
Yep.
So we saw him 4-1 as a starter.
Yeah.
With the Broncos. And the Chiefs game and the snow, like, I kind of throw that one out a little bit.
Sure.
But what were your impressions? You know, do the Broncos really have, you know, kind of their franchise quarterback?
Maybe. I mean, I'm kind of waiting. And again, just for full clarity for our listeners, I'm a Mizzou grad, so I mean, I saw all of his starts. I want to say maybe I missed a Southeast Missouri game here along the way or something
right.
like that, but. You know, I mean, Drew had a lot of things about him that you know, were easy to like, and you know, certainly he threw the ball pretty nicely and stuff, but there was always something that kind of left you wanting a little bit more, and I guess that's a little bit how I felt about it down the stretch. Like, you know, he played with confidence. You know, he did things that the other guys before him couldn't do, and it was a different sort of level of volume as far as the passing game was concerned, and you saw him get Sutton involved and everything and get him the ball, and you thought, well, this is better than what we just saw, and for a second round pick, this is pretty darn encouraging. But, you know, as my buddy Chad Reuter and I were talking about, like, you have some tape on him now, right? And you can now start to see, all right, where are the weaknesses in his game. You know, he'd start fast some games and kind of peter out a little bit and those sorts of things. And, you know, are they going to be able to get him with pressure and stuff? And as you pointed out, the speed of the game comment, I mean, I just, you know, there were times when it just didn't seem like he processed quickly enough to where you would say, oh, okay, that's high-level stuff he's doing.
Right.
But, you know, I like Drew's temperament. I think he's, he's an easygoing kid who I think has enough. You know, I mean, plenty of mental capacity where he can be better at what he did.
They need better weapons around him.
No question.
Cortland Sutton has been amazing. Noah Fant, perhaps better than people expected.
Yep.
And Henry Ruggs comes into the conversation. Now, before we get to the rumor that both of us heard, which is always interesting, mm-hmm. when it's like, what did you hear? I heard that too.
Yep.
From probably different people. I want to talk about Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb, and Jerry Jeudy.
Yep.
You're splitting hairs. You have to rank the three. How do you rank them?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, you know, with Alabama, it was tricky, too, because you had four NFL receivers on that team, and it was one of those things where, man, you know, I mean, next year we could be having a great debate about Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith, and you know, Smith had so much production this year that you would say, wow, is he the best of the bunch? Well, I don't know about that, but... you know, Jerry Jeudy had the two drops against LSU. Ruggs had stretches where he disappeared. But, again, I mean, when you go back to traits, first of all, the two things that really excite you the most, obviously the speed, and he's going to run incredibly well here, but it shows up on tape too. And so one of my three or four favorite plays that I saw this season was against, that would have been, I'm forgetting which game it was now, but Tua forced a bad interception in the red zone. Rolled to his left, you know, there was nothing there. He tried to fit it in. It was a pick. Ruggs is in the end zone 7 or 8 yards deep. Oh, it was Tennessee. It was a Tennessee game, right?
Okay.
And Nigel Warrior, who is the son of Dale Carter, you know, great NFL DB.
Former Denver Bronco,
track speed. Picks the ball off at about the 3, 4, 5 yard line. Ruggs is a good 12, 13 yards behind him and is scooting down the sideline. You think, God, he might even get a pick six on this thing. I mean, he might take it all the way back.
He's going to house it.
And so from two different angles, you've got, I believe it was Waddle on one side and Henry Ruggs coming from the end zone, 11, 12 yards behind him. The football competitiveness is something that they raved about him down there. And he chases the dude down at the 50-yard line. You know, it's one of those hustle plays where you say, oh, he's not just a track star. He is a football player. And that's the kind of thing where, you know, when the coaches get involved, Vic Fangio gets involved, whoever, they're going to say, I'm not just getting a speed demon. I'm getting a player who will go out there and block, who will go out there and compete. And that's hard not to like about him. I don't know if he's wide receiver one. I happen to like CeeDee Lamb a little bit better, but I can make a case for almost any of the three and be pretty good with it, I think.
I always say when everyone asks me, like, how do you break down the wide receivers? I go, well, what do you want?
Yeah, what kind of guy do you want?
Because if you want crazy body control like DeAndre Hopkins, well, you want CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
And if you want straight-out speed like Tyreek Hill, you want Henry Ruggs.
Yep.
And if you want route running like Amari Cooper, dare I say Marvin Harrison. Dare I say it. Just shades of Marvin.
Poor man's Marvin Harrison.
Exactly. Right. Then you want Jerry Jeudy.
Yep.
So it's really like, what do you covet? What works best in your offense? What do you need? Well, if you're the Broncos, you don't need a number one. You have that in Cortland Sutton.
Correct.
And Ruggs is a number two. Sounds pretty nice. Locking that arm, Pat Shurmur and three vert.
Fant as your number
deep
three?
Deep middle seam guy, yeah, basically.
Okay. I mean, sign me up for that. I mean, those three guys seem to make a good trio together. And, you know, I took a little guff back in October. I think it was my first
mock. It was your very first mock. I remember talking about it. I don't know if I had you on the show back then.
I don't think so, but
But I remember, like, okay, Eric Edholm said Henry Ruggs. And I even said at the time, like, you know, Eric, I respect your work. I said, I would disagree with that at that point. But here we are, you know, 3-4 months later, whatever it was, and, like, you're right on the money.
That was, now, granted, that was a guess. Now, that wasn't something that I, at the time, that
Plus, they were also at, like, 10 or something back
then.
Correct. Right? Yep. They weren't at 15.
They had a worse record. They may have even been, like, 7 or 8. My theory was this. You know, like we saw with John Ross 3 years ago, or whatever it was, you know, John Ross is a good player. Yes, he had the injury recurrence. He was Pac-12 player of the year, I want to say, but he was small or whatever. He ran that time, and, you know, like, guys who run those crazy 40s and have these other qualities that you want to like, they tend to go really freaking high in the draft. So my thinking was, if Henry Ruggs runs a 4.2 whatever, like everybody thinks he can, that's probably the range he's going to go in the draft, and, oh, well, they need a speed guy. And so I was sort of connecting dots. Those early mock drafts, I'm not necessarily pairing. I'm just sort of saying, he's going to go somewhere in this range. They could kind of use that. Boom, put them together.
Interesting combination.
It got lucky a little bit.
Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, one of the best NFL draft experts out there. And the buzz that we're hearing, I don't like to say rumors.
Yes.
But your buzz, and I always say this, if I don't hear it in January or February, when I hear it in April, I know it's not true.
It's out. Yep.
Yeah, because that's the month of liars. That's when agents really, and we know in this business, and, well, you get a couple more cold pops in me, I might start naming names. But there's so many guys that just run with agent-fed information, and they're just like, some agent told me, and I want to get in good with him, and I'll say whatever about whatever. Leonard Fournette's ankles are totally fine. There's no problem. Like, there's a problem.
But
we know those people. We're not those people. But it's interesting what you pick up on when you're out and about here at the Combine, and I just learned today that there were two teams specifically, maybe a third, that know the Broncos want Ruggs and want to move ahead of them.
Okay.
Those two teams are the Eagles, first and foremost, the Bills next, and maybe the Saints. But there might be a little hang-up there with the Saints.
Yep.
These teams might try to get in front of Denver at 15. So if you're writing your next mock draft and you're thinking Henry Ruggs at 15, I still have to write my first mock, post-combine mock. I was going to do a pre-combine mock, but I ran out of time. But anyway, mocks take so much time.
They do.
But people love them. If you're thinking Ruggs at 15, you might want to change your thinking.
Yep. And that's a great point, too. I mean, like, let's start with the Saints, right? I mean, not having a second-round pick, are they going to, you know, mortgage next year's draft to go do that? Maybe.
Go they, all in with one last run with Breeze?
There's a temptation to do it. If you're going to sign Tom Brady or, you know, the Titans or whoever else, or the Raiders or whoever, it's the same concept of, like, well, Breeze is coming back. We got to get someone opposite Michael Thomas. So I understand that. But, like, those other two teams you mentioned, what have we been complaining about with the Eagles? Like, they need wide receiver speed, I think, anyway. So, makes perfect sense. They've been a smart team in terms of targeting guys. They moved up last year for Andre Dillard. They have those little moves that they make where you say, this is in their crosshairs. I could see it. Are there other guys that they like just as much? A Brandon Ayuk or somebody? Maybe. You know, maybe they feel the price isn't worth it, but that what you just said makes complete sense from a team need and from a, you know, kind of a league perspective and a value perspective.
Yeah, and who doesn't have a number one? Well, the Bills. Like, all due respect to Smoke, yep. John Brown, but he's not a number one.
True.
Maybe they think Ruggs is that number one.
It could be. The only question I have is, like, they have all these little small receivers. It's not like Ruggs is tiny, right? But he's right. Not exactly that, you know, sort of larger radius.
He's not their Eric Moulds.
Exactly.
Their new Eric Moulds.
I think, you know, Brandon Bean wants, like, touchdown makers, and you would say Ruggs with his speed has to qualify.
Too. And Josh Allen and that big arm.
True. And, I mean, look, even Josh Allen can't overthrow Henry Ruggs, I don't think. Maybe. Yeah. In early mocks, I kept putting him like, okay, well, T. Higgins maybe or somebody, you know, in terms of, you know, somebody with a larger frame. And so maybe they end up settling on Ayuk if they can't make a move up. But, yeah, I'd put him in that mix.
He's Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports NFL draft expert. Is this the greatest wide receiver class you've ever seen? Or was that 2014?
Or 96, right? Marvin Harrison, we just mentioned. Right. You know, a Terrell Owens, Keyshawn Johnson. Yeah, I mean, there's so many guys in that draft that were so good. Yeah, Eric Moulds, right. So that one, I think, may hold the mantle for a while. And then what, 14 was Mike Evans, Odell.
Sammy, yep. Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry.
I'm a big Allen Robinson fan.
Yeah. So that year, the Broncos took Cody Latimer. And they moved up. Who is the Indiana kid for Buffalo? James Hardy?
Yes, James Hardy.
Yeah. There you go. See?
Yep. And I was about to tell one of those agent stories you just mentioned. I'll leave that one off the air to protect the innocent and all that. But it's always awful when you look back at one of those deep classes at one position. There's always that one team that just
outlier.
Totally struck out.
Ooh. You totally missed on that one.
Ouch.
Speaking of awful, this is the type of person I am, and Chad Ryder will tell you. Do you have to go, or can I get you for one more segment?
Let it rip, man.
One more segment. Yep. Eric Edholm, NFL draft expert, Yahoo Sports. Great to catch up with you, brother, because I saw you in Mobile, but I don't even think I might have, like, waved at you or something.
And we talked briefly.
Okay. Because I was like, my foot couldn't work. I couldn't walk. Like, Mobile was awful. I got food poisoning.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was
I did hear about that. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It was awful. But. Good to catch up with you here.
Yes.
Everyone's feeling good. Cold pops flowing.
Yep.
At the combine pad. Like, we need to name this place.
Mm.
Like, you know, Sigmund's like, well, it's not a bachelor pad because
it's not a war room.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I know.
I'm just like, combine hangout place complex. Combine complex.
I like that.
See, Kyler Berry, my producer in our ear, talking about that. Okay, from the Combine Complex in Indianapolis, Eric Edholm, NFL draft expert, Yahoo Sports, Cecil Lammy, to discuss a running back that might take Philip Lindsay's job if the Broncos draft him. That's next.
Live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, here's 1043thefan.com, Cecil Lammy.
Well, the Broncos had a formal interview today at the Scouting Combine with J.K. Dobbins, running back from Ohio State. Eric Edholm joining me in my Combine Roundtable here on The Fan. Dobbins is a player. You got to split hairs in what you do. I had Dobbins as the number three back.
Okay.
I like DeAndre Swift. I know some people don't agree with that. And, of course, Jonathan Taylor and what he does. But let's talk about Dobbins and kind of what he can do on the field. He might be the best back in pass protection in this entire class.
He might be. You're right. Yeah. I mean, he's absolutely a three-down back. You know, when he got opportunities to catch the football this year, he looked much better. I saw, like, just growth from him from 2018 to this year. Excuse me. And, you know, I mean, I remember watching him just sort of casually in 2018 and thinking, what's the big deal? You know, I don't know. I wasn't that excited. But the more I watched him this season, the more he grew on me. You know, the playoff game where he had the fumble and he left with the injury, it was like the best of both worlds. He played a great game. Still, you know, he dropped the pass, rather. Right. They could have two passes, I guess, that could have been touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, that was, you know, again, still, I didn't lose any luster for him. I like him a lot. And I'm still trying to decide who my RB1 is. And it's a really interesting debate this year. But if, like, you know, I could get behind Dobbins as the best back, and I could also make a case for Taylor, and Swift also has some really exciting qualities too.
Well, if Dobbins is added by the Broncos, it has to be like second round,
that's
right?
That's what I was going to guess, yeah.
I mean, I have him graded as late first, early second.
Yep.
Does that sound about right?
Yep.
Okay, so let's just say the Broncos were to pick him up. This is a Pat Shurmur offense. And I haven't asked you yet about what you think about Pat Shurmur as an OC.
Yeah.
And some guys are like that. I mean, there's millions of Wade Phillips, beloved by Broncos for country as a great defense coordinator. He was awful as head coach.
Yeah.
Dom Capers, Dick LeBeau. I could
goes
go on
back
and on
forever.
And on.
Yep.
Right. And you know, hey, Pat Shurmur's just one of those guys. I don't care. I think he can run a great offense, though. So in that offense, when we know what Barkley have as a rookie, 91 catches?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Dobbins comes in. Freeman's bye. See ya. He's just, you know, reserve. He's your new Devontae Booker, ladies and gentlemen. What does that mean for Philip Lindsay?
What are your thoughts
on Philip Lindsay? Because you've got the national perspective. Again, Eric at home, Yahoo Sports, send all your hate tweets at him.
Please do.
Because anytime I talk bad about Philip Lindsay, well, first off, Philip, KB, you got that audio, because Philip always blames the Denver media, which is nothing but a bunch of puppy dogs, right? And then he'll be like, well, you guys don't
have
like, and I'm like, play the whole thing, KB. I was like, it's
you
ridiculous.
Guys are sitting here not believing in us. If you're just a bandwagoner, you guys are just looking at stats. If you're a true fan, then you believe in us. If you're not, you guys are not understanding different situations. And, you know, if you haven't played this game, then you just don't know.
Okay, we love Philip Lindsay on this show. I've firmly established that.
Yes.
How good is he really?
Yeah.
And would Dobbins take his job?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, he would at least change the roles, I think. And, you know, like Philip Lindsay, right? He's a great success story to this point, right? I mean,
right.
Probably shouldn't have. I mean, you know, it's obvious he shouldn't have been undrafted or whatever. Right. And it was surprising.
Should have been at the combine.
Yeah. It just, there's certain guys every year that slip through the cracks. This is going to be one of those years. There'll be a back who's, you know, like I talked to DJ Dallas from Miami. I think he's better than most people do, whatever. He's my
guy.
Yeah, I like him. So, like, there's one of those dudes, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, to me, J.K. Dobbins and the versatility of what he can do, a little more just thickness and build. You know, I saw him just look so much more natural as a receiver. The vision seemed to be improved. Usually that's one of those things you either have or you don't. I don't know. Maybe it's just patience or something that he's developed, but he really saw those creases that I didn't necessarily think he did the year before. I just think he's a really good all-around player. Maybe not a special one, but a really, really good one. So I would see him cutting into that Lindsay role a little bit.
Yeah, and go to the role that I think the Broncos initially wanted with Royce Freeman.
Freeman, yes.
And it's one of those guys, like, in doing what you do and what I do, we know we're going to be wrong about guys, but there's certain guys that break your heart. Like Royce Freeman, when the Broncos picked him up, I was like, this is the guy.
Yep.
You can replace C.J. Anderson. He's legit. He's big time. You have a wide zone system last year under Scangarello. That's what he ran at Oregon. He looks like trash. Now it's a power gap system. I asked Fangio about it yesterday or 2 days ago, and he was just like, system fit, it's overblown. I'm like, yeah, but you just had the system.
Right.
And he didn't work.
It
so
didn't work.
I think Freeman's one of those guys where we can chalk it up as a miss, because running backs, unless it's Thomas Jones or maybe Tiki Barber, we see it early, and there's no time in translate. You know, like wide receivers take a couple years. Tight ends take a couple years. Running backs, I should see it like that.
Unless there's an injury, unless there's some sort of unusual circumstance, I 100% agree with you. I think I had Freeman as my number 50 overall player. Where did they get him in the draft?
Third round.
So it was like the 70-somethingth pick or whatever, right? Okay. I remember thinking at the time, really good value. Even for running back, you see those guys sometimes slip a little bit or whatever. I was very excited about that. hasn't been the case. He's been one of my draft crushes, the unrequited love, whatever you want to say. So now maybe that's, you know, maybe I don't see running backs as well as I should, but that was one that hurt. I still feel pretty good that J.K. Dobbins is going to be a good player.
Eric at home, Yahoo Sports. Check out his work, NFL draft expert. Quickly, one player nobody's talking about, but they should be.
Good question. I was just saying a minute ago, I'm like, Troy Dye from Oregon, like, you know, he's a four-year starter. Dude's really athletic. Played a whole game with a broken thumb. Like, they had to recast him on the sideline and everything.
Wow.
I mean, just, you know, there may be some little character things that need to be cleaned up on him and figured out, but, like, he just seems like a fun player. Like, everyone's talking about all these other linebackers. I'm like, give me that dude. I'll play him three downs, and he can blitz, he can cover, he can do. He's not special in any one thing, but he's really good at a lot of things.
So I'll back you up on DJ Dallas, too.
Yeah, and Dallas is my guy. Yep. He's a little bit of a shifty guy.
There's
he's a little more
there than people are thinking. So
I'm in.
All right, Eric, I will actually let you go because we got more company coming to the Combine Roundtable.
Yep.
So a surprise guest. And maybe a couple of repeat guests as well. The Combine Roundtable continues. Cecil Lammy on the Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.